Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Prichard, and you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Be your superhero, or even if I tumble fall.
First thing fans would be surprised to know about life on the road for a WWE superstar.
Oh man, it's not pretty.
No?
It's hard. The hardest part is literally the drives afterwards. Like, we'll have 4-hour drives, 5-hour drives. Sometimes it's in the sketchiest towns when there's literally nothing and you're afraid you're going to run out of gas, which does happen.
No.
Yes.
You've run out of gas?
I haven't run out of gas. Which, it's gotten very, very, very close where I have to take my foot off the pedal. The last time
it happened. Oh, you're driving yourself.
Oh, yeah, we drive ourselves.
You don't have, like, a driver?
No.
What?
Yeah, we drive ourselves. We get our own rental cars and we drive ourselves.
You get a rental car?
Yes. How do you expect us to get around to these towns and entertain our people?
You're superstars. I feel like after the show, there's like, here's your driver. Get in. You've had a hard day of work. We'll drive you.
Well, no.
With a full tank of gas.
We do it 5 days a week, so they can't do that for 30 superstars 5 days a week.
I don't know. I think they make a lot of money off of you guys.
I think so, too. But, you know, they take care of us
for most
things.
Do you want me to negotiate your guys' new CBA? Do you have a CBA?
No, but
let's make one.
Okay. You know what? No, you know, things like this, they work around it, but
okay.
It's fun, though. It does become fun because you get to connect with, you know, whoever you travel with and there's memories that...
And what you just heard there was Bailey talking to Christine Leahy. But before we get into that, guys, welcome to the Chair Shot Radio Network. This is it's nothing new, but it's something we're adding to it. It's the Mid-Year Awards. Did we just lose Mike?
No, Mike's here.
Okay. It's the Mid-Year Awards. We put these up on Twitter a few weeks ago, and they got several hundred votes, and we're going to go through those today. But joining us now is Dave Unger from The Attitude of Aggression and Mike Knox from Around the Blocks with Mike Knox. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, guys? Thank you.
What's up, Big Rick? What's up, Mike? How's it going, man?
It's going pretty hot right now in Florida. Other than that, it's pretty good. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan, y'all. It's a really good time to be a wrestling fan. Not a booming area, as people say, but it's a good time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, it's getting closer to booming, but we'll see what happens.
Hey, it is an exciting time. I'm assuming both of you guys have heard the interview. If not, Christine Leahy was interviewing Bailey, and she was asking Bailey, how do you get from town to town? Oh, we drive ourselves, and she was shocked to hear this, and she goes, you don't have drivers? She goes, no. Well, you mean the company's making a lot of money. How do they not give you guys drivers? And Bailey, of course, the company woman, it's a very, very thin line you have to ride. Well, we have 30 superstars. They can't do that for all 30. Well, I'm sure y'all can negotiate your next CBA. Talking about a union, and Bailey very quickly said, oh yeah, and just kind of went off topic.
There is no union.
Yeah.
That's what she didn't tell. That's what she didn't say. There's no union. There is no CBA.
Yeah. And
she was shocked to hear that. No bargaining power. So,
and no more shows in California when that whole thing passes, right? With independent contractors.
That's not going to matter.
Yeah, they're still be in California.
It's not going to make a difference. I mean, just because they show up in California and wrestle here, look, I mean, independent contractor status has been pretty much the same for a long time. It did just kind of change in the civil courts through a case that came down. But you know, it's still basically the same sort of standards. And I mean, we could spend an hour debating why they're independent contractors as opposed to why they're employees if you want to. But I don't think that this is a show for that, Rick. But
nope. But we are going to.
But I mean, it's an interesting question. Anybody who's listened to me long enough knows what I do as a day job. So yeah, I can argue this thing both ways, and almost convince maybe 50% of the people that I'm right every time. But you know,
so
it's not Sex Panther. So,
so here's the deal. We're going to start, we're in process of starting a new show. Dave and I briefly spoke about it. We talked to Platt about it. It's going to be called What If on the Chair Shot Radio Network, and it's simply this. Mike, let me just give you a little hint. What if Bret Hart decided to take a pay decrease and stayed with the WWE in 1997? How would that have affected the business? Would the Mr. McMahon character have taken off? Would Stone Cold have gotten as hot as he did if Mr. McMahon wasn't there as a counterpart?
No, of course not.
Okay, but that's the kind of subjects. What if WWE took Sting instead of Ultimate Warrior? What shape would WCW be in? How would Warrior's future look? That's just a little hint. There's millions, maybe not millions, but there's hundreds of these topics we can talk about.
What if Hulk Hogan let anybody else but him get a push in the late to mid 80s? There's a good what if.
Wait. So there was someone on the roster other than Hogan?
What if Mr. Perfect was allowed to become world champion like so many people wanted? What if Vince backed Savage instead of Hogan in that whole mega powers thing? Yeah, you know, you can come up with a million of these things.
I'm sorry. I was ready to go answer some of those questions, but I forgot we were just y'all just giving a synopsis of it. I was ready to go. I was ready.
Here's one for you, Mike.
Huh?
Here's one for you, because I know you're very passionate about this topic. What's his name? The guy that lost his wife to Benoit?
Kevin Sullivan?
Yes. What if Kevin Sullivan did what everyone thinks Chris Benoit did?
Yeah, he did.
See, I told you that'd get him going.
I'm sorry. See, you'll get me started. Just for
Let's time out on this.
Listen to Chavo Guerrero. He said he was on the phone. Chavo said he was on the phone with Chris Benoit, and all of a sudden the doorbell rang, excuse me, and then the rest we all know what happened. That's all I'm saying.
So stay tuned for that. That is coming up here shortly on the Chair Shot Radio Network. But today we're talking about mid-year awards, and we have 12 topics. Dave, you know the winners. I know the...
I do.
2035. I think Mike is holding up 2035.
I was holding up 12. See, the 12. 10 and okay. A 2. 10 and a 2.
I know the nominees. Dave knows the nominees and the winners. Mike doesn't know either. So let's just get started, Dave.
I voted.
You did vote. You did vote.
Damn.
Let's just get started here. First, everybody, let's plug our Twitter. I am at TheBigRick62 on Twitter. Dave, where can they find you on Twitter?
At AttitudeAGG.
Mike?
At Mike Knox, spelled with 3 X's because I'm hardcore. You don't believe me? X that whore. Get you dated.
And I am the first inductee into the Chair Shot Hall of Fame.
God damn it. How you do that? I want to be in there.
It takes a lot of work, but I deserve it. So let's just get to it. Let's start with the best tag team of the year thus far, Dave. And the nominees are, of course, these are mid-year awards.
Easy.
Okay. The first nominee are the Usos. The second nominees are the Lucha Bros. The third nominees are the Young Bucks. And the fourth nominees are the Revival. We got so much backlash from this. How come you didn't put this team or this team? Guys, we can only put four, and realistically, none of these teams are going to win but one. So it don't matter who we put. We could have put the Orient Express. We could have put Demolition. The winner is, Dave.
Well, the winner is the Usos. And the Usos won the Twitter poll. They also won the poll amongst the chair shot people. So it's a unanimous victory for the Usos in this regard. If you want my thoughts, Rick,
yes,
you want Mike's thoughts,
your thoughts, my thoughts, and we'll go to the next topic.
I think they got it right. I mean, the Usos have been the most consistent thing in tag team wrestling for damn near 2 years right now. You know, the second place was, you know, Twitter had the Lucha Bros, the chair shot.
Snap. Over the Bucks.
The chair shot people had the Bucks. as the number two team, which I can see. It's, you know, it's pretty close all the way around. But I think the Usos have earned this thing. They still are relevant. They were the SmackDown Tag Team Champions for the 54th time earlier this year. They very well, I've got them. I'm picking them to beat the Revival for the Raw Tag Titles this weekend. So, if you're just looking for overall consistency and just something you can rely on, it doesn't get much easier or better than the Usos.
Mike?
Excuse me. I concur. I mean, I've said it for a while now that I don't see why people think that it's even close, even with the Young Bucks. And it's nothing taking from the Bucks and what the Bucks do. Maybe honorable mention, I'd have had, you know, Lance Hoyt and Davey Boy Jr. and Smith Jr. there. That's just me being, you know, their fans, their friends of the program. So I love what they do over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. But besides that, the Usos own it on the microphone. They own it in the squared circle. They own it where it counts most, in the pockets. Look at the merchandise they sell. I wish they showed more of the unique merchandise they wear to the ring, because I personally would buy more of their merchandise. They've paid their dues. They've been here through all the struggles. If you look at them, they're pretty much the Kofi Kingstons and the Daniel Bryans and the CM Punks of the tag team division. They paid their dues, and they still get screwed out of WrestleMania matches and big WrestleMania matches and half squash WrestleMania matches, and they're still the best tag team in wrestling, hands down.
The next category, again, mid-year awards, guys. We're only halfway through 2019.
I tell you, man. Hey, Mike, that analysis by Rick was just spot on.
Spot on. It's just perfect. It just, that's why he's a Hall of Famer.
That's it, man.
That's exactly why he's a Hall of Famer. He's the honky-tonk man of the Chair Shot Hall of Famer.
Mid-year awards. We're only halfway through 2019. Best male wrestler. The four nominations: Seth Rollins, Kofi Kingston, Okada, Adam Cole.
Baby! Got to say it right.
Drum roll, and the winner is, Dave.
Winner is Kofi Kingston, baby!
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, so
Hold on. Mike, you made a noise there.
No, do you disagree with this? I'm surprised by the vote of it being Kofi, to be honest. But besides that, no. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I say Kofi won on the Twitter poll. It was he and Seth were tied amongst the chair shot people. So based on, you know, each group getting a half vote and going on this kind of point system I came up with, yeah, Kofi gets the win very narrowly over Seth Rollins. But, you know, I mean, it's Kofi's a better story than Seth is. There's no doubt about that. Now, if I was to vote overall body of work and just consistency the whole year through so far, man, that's a lot tougher. I don't know, man. Kofi's done so well with what he's been given. Seth is tremendous too. I mean, it's kind of a dead heat for me, but I got no issues with Kofi winning this thing. He has been tremendous, and you know, he was handed an opportunity in February, and he took that opportunity and has absolutely made the most out of it. So you got to, in that respect, overall in-ring talent, maybe Seth has got the edge. But if you look at overall men's wrestler for the half the year that is 2019, yeah, I think Kofi's your winner.
I think it would have been between Kofi and Adam. I mean, Adam Cole is doing a hell of a job over at NXT. Okada, I put in just to shut up the Japan fans, because I really didn't feel like hearing them. Seth Rollins, man, and I'm going to get your opinion on this, guys. Do you think he's kind of burnt as far as, I mean, stale? You think his character's run stale since this Universal title win?
I don't personally, but I'm also a wrestling fan that's a different wrestling fan than most wrestling fans out there. I never watch it with any complaint, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? I shoulder shrug at things that I don't like, and, you know, I'm never... you know, screaming, you know, egregious, is, you know what I mean? But to answer the question, yes, he has a little bit. I don't like the stuff that he does with Becky. I don't like that part that's going on. But to me, that's always been Seth. You know what I mean? Seth's one of those guys who's better in the ring than he is with the story. Seth's good as a heel. And as a face, I don't like face Seth.
That's the thing.
So, Seth.
If Seth was a heel, you think this would the results here would be a little bit different, Dave?
Me? No, I don't think so. I think Seth's probably where he needs to be right now. If he's stale right now, it's probably not his fault. I mean, this stuff with Baron Corbin has been going on for months now, and people just do not like Baron Corbin.
I don't know why.
I can't imagine why either.
So no, I don't know that, why you don't like him. I love Baron Corbin. I've loved Baron Corbin since he had the long hair in NXT. I think nothing that Baron Corbin does is bad.
Not even his in-ring attire?
You're right. Besides the attire, you're right. But I also think that if you're going to pick on his attire, that's just you being today's wrestling.
No. So you enjoy corporate Kane.
I thought it had been gone a long time ago. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But I do like the little patch they added in the last couple of weeks to kind of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like it at all. But that's what they got. And if people think that if you're going to attack someone's character and how they dress and who they're mimicking and who they're imitating and who their character comes from, then you might as well just complain about every single thing that's going to be in everything you do in life, from comic books to movies to video games. Nothing's original anymore. The 80s are gone, people. The 80s and 90s are gone. There is no more originality anywhere. And in wrestling's been around for so many years with so many characters, everybody's repeated themselves.
Let me just say, I wasn't shitting on Baron Corbin. I enjoy what Baron Corbin does. If there is one thing, and it's not nitpicking, I think it's obvious, it is his ring attire. But I'm not going to, Baron Corbin sucks. Why? Because his ring attire. I've heard that argument, but that's not the argument I'm throwing out.
Corbin is the consummate douchebag, and that's, you know, that makes him great. Because everybody just despises the guy, and that's what you want to do. But, you know, too much of a good thing is too much. And at this point, people are just like, they want to see Seth move on. They want to see him do something different. We know Corbin and Lacey aren't winning at Extreme Rules. So what's next? And I think people are ready for that what's next, which might have impacted this a little bit.
The man's man t-shirt. I mean, could you just not pussyfy your champion any more than what that t-shirt is doing?
I don't know, Rick. It's probably going to sell something somewhere, you know.
I don't. I personally am sick of the man. That's why I love Lacey Evans so much. It's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the man whole thing is getting, it's like, enough of this. I mean, without Rhonda, can Becky really be the man anymore?
But I've always thought it was dumb. I personally have always thought, how do you make a big deal about a women's evolution? Right? You do all this. Guys complained and bitched and moaned, about the Money in the Bank match when Ellsworth helped. And, it's supposed to be a women's match. Why'd you get helped by a man? But yet, as soon as a girl gets over, you call her a man? And everybody loved it. And I don't complain. That's not my thing. But I was like, well, that makes zero sense to me. I get it in retrospect and storyline, but here you complain about women. I even heard today that Sony is saying that things like the title of the group X-Men is outdated because it discriminates against women in today's world. And I literally smacked myself in the head and said, are you kidding me? Okay, what can we do in this world without it being oversensitive? And even in this subject I'm picking at, if it's supposed to be about a women's evolution, then why are we calling her the man? That's a disrespectful thing to call a woman a man, but it's okay. Because she's the man?
Dave, any rebuttal?
Oh, no, I agree with him.
Okay.
I mean, I think, you know, the man was, and to make it even worse, the connotation there is that only a man would be able to stand up against Ronda Rousey and beat her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, well, if it's just a woman, we know Ronda will kill her. But if we turn her into kind of a man, then we've got something to talk about because Ronda would have trouble with a man. So a lot of symbolism. And I mean, and Charlotte was there to kind of level that out a little bit, I think. But okay,
why not go with the woman?
The woman, know. Thank you.
The woman, I don't know.
Yes,
because they would have got her confused with Benoit's wife.
But I do like that shirt though. I ain't gonna front, the one that had like the jail one. I did like that shirt.
Yeah.
This goes to Dave's comment. There you go. So Kofi Kingston. Kofi takes that category for Male Wrestler of the Year. Let's go to the next one. Men's Match of the Year. And the four nominees are Cody versus Dustin, both Gargano and Adam Cole, 1 and 2. We package those into one.
Mm.
Tanahashi versus Omega, and Kofi versus Daniel Bryan. Dave, the winner is?
Well, the winner is the Gargano Cole double bill that we did group together, because this is one big continuing story right now, and both matches are kind of two sides of the same coin. So we kind of packaged the Gargano, and I mean, it's four falls basically between the two guys over two matches, and it's two apiece right now. So, yeah, I mean, Gargano Cole is the first one, whether you lump it in with the second one or not, is my match of the year. And I don't think anything's going to top that this year. Cody versus Dustin was pretty close second. I mean, it was actually tied amongst the chair shot people with Gargano Cole and Cody versus Dustin, which, you know, Cody versus Dustin, both those matches are, can damn near be, you know, instructional courses on storytelling, because the storytelling in both those matches is tremendous all the way through. So it's a good example of just, you know, Cody and Dustin, Dustin's getting up there in age, no doubt. He still put on a good match. Was it the five-star technical classic that Gargano and Cole was? No. But Cody and Dustin arguably told a better story than Gargano and Cole did. But, you know, this to me, you had four really solid matches. Kofi versus Daniel came in third in this thing. I thought there were four really good matches. I think the right pairing, the right pair of matches won here.
Mike, what say you?
I agree, honestly, Dave, except for the one part. Did you say arguably a better storyline with Gargano and Adam Cole, baby?
No, I thought Cody and Dustin had the better storyline going on. At least the first match. By that kind of changes with that second Gargano Cole match.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really close, I think, as far as just pure storytelling, what they're doing.
Okay, I think as wrestling fans, it's really easy to pick the Cody and Dustin match. You know what I mean? Like it was there. You didn't have to really tell the story. Like, I love wrestling from the state where, because I believe hashtag wrestling storyline. That's what I've been trying to preach for years and with wrestling fans. Like, without storyline, it doesn't matter what company you have. It has to have a storyline involved in it. And having that told in that ring was an awesome story. But when I watched the Adam Cole and Gargano matches, I actually thought they were some of the best wrestling matches I've seen in my life. And I think from my top two wrestling matches of all time are WrestleMania 3, Steamboat and Savage, still my number one. I don't think nothing ever compares to that. Hmm. And another match that nobody ever even considers, and that's Invasion, RVD versus Jeff Hardy, who at the time, and to this day, I've never thought Jeff Hardy could pull off a match like that, and he did in that match. And then I put Gargano and Adam Cole there. Like, that's how the intensity, the story that was told in that match to me. So I'm not going to argue, you know who won or the other, because I think could have been either one. But I definitely think Adam Cole and Gargano match of the year, best match I've seen in years. And then you could put any match from last year, any other Brooklyn takeovers, anything else. Though, to me, those matches rival anything.
Yeah, and we should disclose that, in all fairness to what Mike's saying, there might be a slight bit of bias on my part leaning towards Cody and Dustin because I was there. So, you know, I heard. So you felt that emotion and everything going on. And I mean, the thing about Cody and Dustin, and I agree with you, Mike, Gargano Cole, heads and tails, by far and away, is my match of the year. Mm-hmm. Cody and Dustin was a grittier, obviously much bloodier affair. And for people who haven't been watching wrestling lately, to see that kind of match with that much blood, you know, I mean, that match actually registered on the Muda scale. You know, out here in California, yeah, we've had Richter scale events for the last week. That match at Double or Nothing actually registered on the Muda scale. So they're both great matches, telling very different stories, which is what makes wrestling great.
Mike, I'm going to give you one more opportunity to throw in one of the greatest matches of all time. You want to add another one in there?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I throw a lot of matches in there, to be honest. But when he mentioned being at All In, I understand that, because my first WrestleMania, that end of an era match with Taker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels as a referee,
mm-hmm,
I think no one counts that match. But again, I was in the building, so I understand when you're in the building, things change. So that's all. But those are
I mean, the Rock versus Eric Rowan. I was there. Greatest match of all time, you know?
Oh, man. I think it's just very disrespectful to Stone Cold that you didn't throw in Stone Cold and Bret Hart.
Oh, no, I would never not put that. I mean, you're putting me on the spot.
You know what, dude? Either. Don't patronize me. If it was that good, you would have mentioned it over Jeff Hardy and RVD.
Oh, no, I don't think that. See, people have to take, what do you consider a wrestling match? And
story.
I think when you're a wrestling fan, it's all encompassing. I don't care, gotcha, if it's a ladder match or a cage match or, you know what I mean, a spot fest, whatever. If that matches the match, that's the match, and that's what the match called for. I would never take nothing from that WrestleMania 13 match. To me, that put Stone Cold on the map, that made Stone Cold famous. It's definitely a top 10, but I don't think it's better than the. If you look at if you're looking at a pure wrestling standpoint, that invasion match between, go back and watch it,
I will,
between RVD and Jeff Hardy. It's the speed of that match. Nothing rivals it. Nothing rivals WrestleMania 3, Steamboat and Macho Man, but that match. The speed, which is unbelievable.
No, I'll give you that. We just did a watch along not long ago of the WrestleMania 3, and that was the first time I've watched that match in, I can comfortably say, 10 years. And it was just nonstop, nonstop.
Does it still hold up today?
I watch it every year, and I make my kids watch. Every year when WrestleMania comes, I pull out all my favorite WrestleMania matches.
Sit out, son.
And we just watch them. No, seriously. Like, well, my one son is like me. He better than me, actually. Like, I'm not an encyclopedia to wrestling. It's just, I'll be honest with you guys, it's too many wacky trees in this world that I like to partake in. So my memory's not the same as it used to be. But my son's a wrestling encyclopedia, and he will tell you, oh, at WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or In Your House. I'm like, dude, you're like 12 years old. How the hell do you know all this stuff?
It's got match times memorized and shit like that. You're like,
at the 7-minute, 32-second mark, go check out his facial features.
He can see some stuff. Like, oh, this is the Royal Rumble with the 32 men. Like, what the hell? Okay. And you know, they had 32 men in the Royal Rumble.
All right. Next one. Female wrestler of the year up to this
point.
Every
year. Every year it's the same woman.
Yeah. Well, the four
Charlotte.
Nominees are.
Got to be Charlotte.
The man, Becky Lynch. The queen.
Did you say the whore?
I did. The queen, Charlotte. Tessa Blanchard or Shayna Baszler. Now, Dave, before you give us the winner, I want you to give me the argument you gave me as to why you think, not saying this is who you voted for, but why you think Shayna Baszler had a strong case to win this. Do you remember what that was?
Why I thought that?
Yes.
Because, I mean, Shayna's the first ever two-time NXT Women's Champion and has been untouchable. I mean, on Asuka-like proportions. In a perfect dream world, we would have got Shayna versus Asuka to try and dethrone her for the NXT Women's title. But that didn't happen. But that point notwithstanding, you point to me a more dominant women's champion anywhere in the world than Shayna Baszler for the last year. Since Evolution, since she won the title back from Kairi Sane, show me, because I'm just going to sit here and wait for that.
I'm about to show you. Dave, the winner is.
Well, the winner is in a runaway. This one's not even close. Is the man, Becky Lynch. Twitter loved her. The chair shot people unanimously voted for her. Look.
Take it away.
My thought on this, I mean, trying to take away the year that Becky had, going from. What in the women's at WrestleMania 34, you're in the Andre the Giant, or not Andre the Giant, the women's battle royal. 1 year later, you're in the first ever women's main event of WrestleMania. You can't, and I know Ronda Rousey has a tremendous amount to do with that, but similar, we talked about with Kofi Kingston earlier. Becky was given an opportunity and she made the most of it. And you've got to give her, whether you like her or not, whether she bores you or not, whether you're sick of her gimmick or not, you've got to at least acknowledge that. This is somebody who made the most of this opportunity and really punched through. And you know, you're thinking or looking, Ronda Rousey's larger than life. Charlotte's larger than life. And it's Becky Lynch, of all people, who comes to the forefront. And all she had to do was slap the shit out of Charlotte Flair to get that ball rolling. So, well, I think Shayna Baszler has been a more dominant champion. And I know a lot of people, I read a lot of comments on Twitter. A lot of people agreed with that sentiment. But I really don't have a problem with Becky winning, given what she has accomplished through the latter part. Basically, it started at SummerSlam a year ago through WrestleMania 35. And she's still very relevant. I mean, now even she's becoming even more relevant. Now she's, you know, you're seeing her on covers of all sorts of stuff. She's Seth Rollins' girlfriend. She's more visible, more prominent, more recognizable than she's ever been. So it's hard. It's really hard, no matter if you think Shayna's more dominant. I know a lot of people love Tessa Blanchard. You look at what she just did at Slammiversary with Sami Callihan, and you say, Jesus, I don't think Becky Lynch would have fared that well in that kind of an environment. And you're probably right. But they're all four great, tremendous female wrestlers. But it's I don't know, man. It's awfully hard to argue against Becky in this position.
What say you, Mike?
I hate that poll is correct, but yeah. I mean, it has to be her. She had a year that couldn't be rivaled. She did beat Ronda Rousey, you know, and to me, the greatest female wrestler of all time, and Charlotte Flair. So, yeah, for the year, for the half a year even, it, unfortunately, it is her. So I have nothing to say. That's.
Well, sticking with the women's theme here, we're going to go women's match of the year up to this point. And the nominees are Boston Hugs wins the Elimination Chamber, Women's Money in the Bank, the 6-woman tag match at AEW's Double or Nothing, or the Triple Threat main event at WrestleMania 35. Dave, the winner is...
This is one, Rick, that I'm going to have to officially declare it a draw.
Oh, man,
because
my gosh.
I know, ties like kissing your sister, but when you've got one match wins it on Twitter, the other match wins it on the chair shot, and it's not by such a margin that you can definitively state, yeah, this one was better than that. But the two matches in question are the women's triple threat first ever main event at WrestleMania and the women's Money in the Bank match from earlier this year. And I thought that was very interesting when... I love the women's Money in the Bank match. I wouldn't have put it. I mean, I think the three of us needed. There's three of us. We need to break this tie amongst the three of us. So I wouldn't have given the women's Money in the Bank ladder match the win. It was a great match. I liked it a lot. I liked seeing Bayley come through. But the historical significance of that WrestleMania main event, those three women doing that and delivering for 90% of the match, and then whatever went on at the end, we'll probably never know for sure.
Right.
But for 90% of that match, that was a hell of a match. And I would have gone with the WrestleMania main event for the women's match of the year.
If I could have voted, it would have been the 6-woman tag at AEW's Double or Nothing when all these gimmicks were coming out.
Well, that was in third.
I know, actually. But I'm saying if I could have voted. That's what I can't vote on my own poll on Twitter. That match was highly entertaining. But breaking it down to the triple threat of the women's Money in the Bank, just what you said, Dave, just for the historical significance of the match, I think you have to go WrestleMania main event, triple threat. Mike, what say you?
No argument again?
You want to talk about analysis?
I just think women's wrestling for a whole has gone down since WrestleMania in itself, since 100. Ronda left. And yep. I was a very big component of Ronda Rousey and what she was doing and how fast she had grown, and people didn't see that and look at her now. It's like the John Cena effect in a way, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you hated on John Cena. Now he's gone. Guess what? What happened when he came back with the US, you know, Open Challenge and things like that. Like Ronda Rousey was really good for what she was doing and how short of a time she got there. So, and that lead in that anticipation, although I thought they peaked a little early, you know, with the anticipation of WrestleMania, they did some things like weeks too soon.
Yep.
But I can never get going back to what sold me ultimately was that when they got locked up in the handcuff. People can make excuses about how that was unrealistic and all that. People forget it's
wrestling.
I loved it. It's all unrealistic.
I loved it.
I absolutely loved them. You saw them say 1, 2, 3, go. They just started kicking the shit out of each other. That was amazing to me. So
It was so much fun. That whole segment was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that's what it's supposed to be, is fun.
Yeah. Right.
You got three people like us analyzing the shit out of this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun.
Tag team match of the year to this point. The four nominees are Greg DeMarco's favorite match, the Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah, right.
War Raiders versus Ricochet and Aleister Black, the New Day Gauntlet, and the Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match at NXT TakeOver 25. Dave, the winner is...
Well, Big Rick, Mike, this is another one where there's actually a draw.
Oh, come on. My
God. People Twitter... we ask you to do one thing on social media, and you can't even fucking do that.
One thing.
We'll have to break this one, although this one might be a little bit more of a conversation. But the tie is between... the Fatal 4-Way at NXT TakeOver 25 for the vacant NXT Tag Team Championships, and the War Raiders versus Ricochet and Aleister Black for the then NXT Tag Team Championships. So two NXT matches. I don't know, man. You guys lead this one off. I got my thoughts about it.
Take it, Mike.
give it to me one more time.
Okay, because so
I want to make sure I hear
what correctly. Is between, and then I'll just give my vote while you can ponder it.
Okay.
It's the War Raiders versus Ricochet and Aleister Black for the NXT Tag Titles, and then the Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match at NXT TakeOver 25 for the vacant NXT. Yeah. I'm going to vote Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match just because I remember sitting on the couch, just on the edge of my seat, going, holy shit, what's next? And it just kept topping. Highly entertaining match, taking nothing away from the other three matches. But this one in particular is the one I remember specifically. So my vote is for the ladder match.
I would also go ladder match. And that, to me, that Raider match with Aleister Black, it was okay, but it wasn't that ladder match. To me, anyway, it's just, I remember, like you said, I remember sitting there with my kids watching that. Like, I get a lot of enjoy in watching wrestling with my children. So my children are overly crazy, like Raw right, 2 weeks right. ago. When I missed it, they were like, yo, Dad, did you see what Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley did? That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. So you got your kids like, oh my God. Like, you have no choice but to sit there and be like, yo, that's insane. So for me, it has to be that ladder match.
Yeah, I would agree. The Fatal 4-Way Ladder Match, what I really liked about that and gave it the edge over the other one is you had these four teams that were suddenly thrust into the limelight because Vince decided that, hey, you know what? I got to bring the NXT Tag Team Champions to Raw and change their name three times and completely screw this whole thing up for no reason. And then the War Raiders / Viking Experience / Viking Raiders / Thor's Bitches. I don't know what you want to call them next. But, you know, they go and they give up the titles. And then you get these four teams that are supposed to step up in this match and pull this thing out and be, you know, decide the tag team titles. And they all four just absolutely just knocked it out of the park. So talk about all that pressure for four teams that didn't have a lot of exposure. I mean, the Forgotten Sons had gotten to the finals of the Dusty Classic, but the Street Profits had been an afterthought, you know, so. For those teams to come out there and do what they did, yeah, I think that one's my vote as well. They really turned in a hell of a performance.
The biggest disappointment of the year up to this point, three nominees. The three nominees are WWE Creative, Goldberg versus The Undertaker, or the WWE Women's Tag Titles. Dave, tell me we have a winner.
We do have a winner on this one, and it is WWE Creative by a very narrow margin over Goldberg and The Undertaker. Mm. What else can you say about? I think everybody got this one right. I mean, WWE Creative has been a major problem ever since WrestleMania. Just complacency, they're directionless. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They seem to be turning things around the last few weeks, and that's encouraging. But yeah, up until the time Double or Nothing took place, when they were kind of forced to respond, they had just seemingly been on autopilot and didn't know what the hell they were doing. And you felt it. And it really has been a disappointing product for much of 2019, at least on the WWE side of things.
So when I look at the women's tag titles, when that was first announced, I said, this is going to bomb. Everyone was so excited. I said, guys, this is going to be horrible. Because it all goes back around to WWE Creative. I don't think they had any idea what they were doing or had any idea what they wanted to do with these women tag titles. As far as Goldberg and Taker, that wasn't even a disappointment because I expected that. If they gave me a good match, then I would have been surprised in some way, shape, or form.
True, so, but you didn't expect them to damn near kill each other.
I expected them to do exactly what they did because they, no disrespect to these two legends, but Father Time is here. He's knocking on their door. They don't need
to
be in this match.
Father Time's undefeated.
He is. Mike, what say you, sir?
It has to be WWE Creative. Even for somebody like, you know, I would call myself a WWE guy or being called a WWE guy and all other kind of stuff. But they do not deliver sometimes. They do not seem to have directions. These are things we all know. You know, like one week they're doing one thing, one week they're doing something different. It doesn't make any sense. But I also think for the most part, it's hard for them to do things. Also, I think they try to please the wrestling community too much when people think they don't. And I know that I've spoken myself personally, and I've had him on my show. You can go back and watch an interview with Jesse James, Road Dogg himself. And, you know, they really don't, he say, and the company will tell you, they really don't look at social media's, you know, impact, because that's like, I think the number he gave me, if I can remember this quote, was like 10% of their, you know, comes from what they see on Twitter. You know, what we have in the U.S., that's the U.S. numbers, but worldwide, that baby does phenomenal numbers.
Yep.
It's just not the same here anymore. So, but, you know, with that being said, let's just look forward, and I look forward anyway to something bigger and better, and hope they right this wrong. But what was so promising 2 weeks ago wasn't so promising on a go-home show this past Monday, in my opinion. So
we have five more guys, and then we're going to rapid-fire our predictions for Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. Gimmick of the year. Three options here.
Easy.
In my opinion, it's easy. Your three nominees are the 24/7 title, the Firefly Funhouse, and Boom Box Brock. It was close on Twitter. Dave, tell me the right person won.
It was close all the way around, man. But, you know, based on the fact that the Chair Shot folks were a little bit more adamant about this than the folks on Twitter. What was it, 44-42 on Twitter?
Yep.
Real close. But this one we're going to give to the 24/7 title as the gimmick of the year so far. Very, very close. You know, the go ahead and say that a few times. Firefly Funhouse.
One more time?
Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, slow down. Okay.
It's been fun, and it's been weird, and it's I think maybe if Bray Wyatt had actually stepped back in the ring by now, it would mean more. But now it's just like, what is the hell is going on? But the 24/7 title, which was, I mean, I remember when they launched that thing, and Rick knows, the biggest joke in the industry. People were just, they were just crapping all over this
thing. I remember
thing.
The first one that was sent, the very first, and people were, I said, guys, stop. Give it a few weeks. You have no idea what's coming. And I think it was either you or Greg that said he's going to end up turning into a psychopath. And that's exactly what it was. And I just, as much as I enjoyed the Firefly Funhouse, you know, the 24/7 to me was just.
And seeing Brock Lesnar dance around with a boombox was unexpected.
Well, that was fun for the first week. And then as WWE does everything else, they milk the shit out of it extremely fast until it's no longer fun.
So. But the 24/7 title is just a lot of fun. And, I mean, Drake Maverick and R-Truth deserve some Academy Award, Emmy Award nominations for the job that they've done. But, you know, it's still got the potential to be more. I mean, if you get somebody like, you know, these guys are doing stuff. Let's say, like, out of nowhere, R-Truth wins the title back from Drake and then walks right into a claymore from Drew McIntyre. And he gets a 24/7 title. And then suddenly, it's not so much fun anymore. And now Drew just starts, you know, welcoming people to try and take the title from him. Make him look badass, something like that. A lot of potential with this title, but it's been the funnest part of Raw. Well, anything in WWE, the funnest part of that since they launched this thing, which was if there was a surprise of the year, that might be a good award for that as well. But yeah, I like the 24/7 title a lot more than I thought I would.
I myself, as a belt collector, me and a group of my friends all just started texting each other. I was like, yeah, I would still buy it because we just collect belts. But it's one of the ugliest titles I've ever seen. And you know, everybody, I think, felt the same way initially watching what they did and it being a 24/7 title that. But I think when you have guys like you just mentioned, and Dave, and I'll be real fast, having R-Truth do this is just, and Drake Maverick coming along as well the last few weeks, it has made it very, very entertaining. So that's all it's about. It's about, and it's called World Wrestling Entertainment. It's not pro wrestling. You want to watch pro wrestling? Go watch NXT. Go watch AEW. This is wrestling entertainment. It's entertainment with a wrestling backdrop.
Moment of the year. I know we said we're going to save this for last, but I have a feeling I'm going to forget it or move on. But the four nominees for moment of the year up to this point: Roman Reigns overcoming cancer, the formation of AEW, Kofi winning the WWE title, hence making him the first African-American to hold that championship, or the women main eventing WrestleMania for the first time. Dave, the winner is.
So I know we thought this would be closer than it actually was. I mean, when you take everything into consideration, it was sort of close, but not really. And Roman Reigns overcoming leukemia wins this thing, as I think most of us expected.
I would disagree.
Huh?
I would disagree with that.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh.
Strongly. Well, I would strongly disagree with that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, take it, brother.
I'm sorry. I do. I just have to, because it's like homosexuality in this country. Nothing against it. It's what it is. It's there. That's how I feel about cancer. You know what I mean? When he first went out, we all watched it live. I remember I always watch wrestling when I'm on my Xbox and my Xbox party with a group of people, a group of my wrestling guys on Xbox. And my one boy, Dice Man on Twitter said he'd be back for WrestleMania. And then, like, as soon as he said it, everybody was like, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's just, yeah, I guess hopefully thinking we thought that and that's what happened. You know, nobody wants to see nobody die from cancer. I think we've all been affected in some form or fashion by this sickening disease. So I'm not taking nothing from that and him coming back from that. It just wasn't a big surprise to me that it happened. But what was a surprise, what I was not sure of, what I was as a black man fighting and thinking it would never happen, was Kofi. Although I said leading up to it, it would never happen. Wake the F up. And then I say, oh, it will happen. I said, you know why did it happen? Because it's not the number one title anymore. The number one title to the company is the Universal title because they call their fans the WWE Universe. However, that's still the title that most blacks anyway feel was never had a chance to have other than The Rock. And people say, well, The Rock is black. Yes, he is, but the company promotes him as Samoan, not as black. So for me, and even him still having the belt now and these rumors about him being hurt, scary. Like, if he loses his title, we're afraid he and no one else, Bobby Lashley, these guys will never have a chance. So for me, it's Kofi Kingston, hands down, should have won this in a landslide.
I think it was Platt that said this, and I'm going to try my best. And I didn't see I saw the big deal in the first African-American winning this. But I think it was Platt that said, again, I don't want to butcher this, every child deserves to see somebody of their race as they are growing up being successful in something.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, it kind of put, you know, that's true. No black kids have ever grown up a wrestling fan thinking, you know, can I do this? Because nobody has ever done this.
Like, well, you have the argument.
Yeah, and it kind of opened my eyes.
Say the world title.
Well,
though,
no. But he said that it made it more significant than what I thought it was from the eyes of somebody else. But, you know.
I shed fucking tears, and I'm not afraid to say it. Mike Knox with three X's. I President Barack Obama won. I shed a tear. The Chicago Cubs won. I shed a tear. The Philadelphia Eagles won.
Oh, my God. I shed tears
of rage, yes.
Okay, and then when Kofi Kingston won, you saw the video. I did it live. I didn't think it meant that much until it actually happened, because it was something that, you know, you set yourself up for failure. No, it's not going to happen. No, that'd never happen. That'd never happen. And it did happen. So you can write whatever, like you said about, you know, the Ronda Rousey situation, the main event, how it ended. We may never know why it happened, and, you know, therefore, but I just think they were afraid. If they did not let Kofi Kingston win, what would have happened? And I also was on record for saying Daniel Bryan should never have lost the title, because Daniel Bryan was on a hell of a fucking streak. And Daniel Bryan was doing a hell of a job. But I just thought for the moment, for the culture, it should have been Kofi. So that's why it should have been the moment. All the things we do, we got Women Evolution, we got all these new firsts and all these big things that happen. The women's main event. Fuck the women's main event. You had a black man win the title that's never happened at WrestleMania. I just thought nothing to me would ever beat that match ever in wrestling.
I got to say, Rick, Mike makes a lot of really good points.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. You know, Roman's situation, if it got a vote, it might have been because people brought real life into the whole situation. And okay, Kofi beating Daniel Bryan was a scripted event in the grand scheme of things. But that's what we do, is we deal with scripted events. And Roman beating leukemia was real. So that
was
may
it?
Have been.
Was it? I'm doing the Dave Meltzer bullshit.
Kevin Sullivan and Roman Reigns. You two better watch out.
I definitely think it was real, but you know, you have those conspiracy theories that hate WWE so much. And, oh, they staged it to get ratings back. You're retarded.
Get him over.
Cancer. Guess what? He still didn't get over because you fans are stupid. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
But I
think Mike Knox on Twitter. If you want.
From a wrestling moment, I think Mike's absolutely correct. I mean, Kofi, and especially you mentioned Daniel Bryan, who doesn't get enough credit for everything that happened to Kofi Kingston, because without Daniel, it probably doesn't work out that way if you don't have a guy like Daniel Bryan on the other side to really, I mean, he put Kofi, even when he was beating Kofi, he was putting Kofi over and making it so that people wanted to see him have that great moment, and he did. So, Yeah, those two were the ones at the very, you know, they were by far and away the two. I mean, I was surprised that AEW forming didn't get more love, and the women's main event at WrestleMania, they just, you know, no one cared about it. It's like, yeah, whatever. Compared to the rest of them, inconsequential.
Three left, and then we're going to rocket fire these Extreme Rules predictions. Rivalry of the year, the nominees are WWE versus AEW, Drake versus R-Truth, Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, or Kofi versus Daniel Bryan. Dave, the winner is... Hey, Mike, before you give the winner, trust me, I had the same look. But you're going to have people that don't... We're going to get tweets if we don't put that first one in. So, Dave...
Okay.
Which one?
The WWE, AEW. It's not even a competition. It's not even... But if we didn't put it in there, someone was going to tweet us, oh, AEW is coming on strong.
Well, they are. But this one was... I just went and shit on the women. But here they come and win Rivalry of the Year. pretty handily, I might add. Becky, Ronda, Charlotte wins this thing with WWE versus AEW being in second place, actually. But, I mean, you look at...
With one event, it came in second place.
Yeah. Well, one event created a rivalry. You know, Drake versus R-Truth is fun. Kofi versus Daniel Bryan, I think, should have gotten a lot more consideration than it did. But, yeah, if you're looking at overall rivalry, Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte, and what they did and what they accomplished and what they... barriers that they broke down. I don't know how it's very, you know, that's another one that it's hard to argue against. You can't say people got it wrong, because you just look at what they accomplished and the record speaks for itself.
Touche.
Pussycat. I agree, though. Yeah, I mean, it has to be rivalry of the year, but the only competition is with the people in the back. That's all. That's the real competition, is over talent.
Come that's back. True. Wrestler of the Year. I want to see Mike's face on this one. Comeback Wrestler of the Year. Moxley. Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens. Or Sami Zayn. Dave, the winner is...
This one was a little bit closer than I thought it was going to be after the Twitter poll. But it is Roman Reigns who wins this thing as Comeback Wrestler of the Year.
Nice eye roll by Mike Knox.
Yeah, no. Personally, I'm selfish in that category because I am the biggest Sami Zayn fan in the world. So, Sami Zayn's promos over the last 2 months has been what I've been preaching for 10 years. So,
yeah. And now Kevin Owens is being pushed as mega baby face, but you know, Roman coming back, like you said, Mike. A lot of people, I think I was one of them, who said, you know, Roman could possibly, if he gets the right kind of treatment and this goes well, he could be back by Mania. Mm-hmm. Wishful thinking, but it turned out that way. The return of John Moxley was pretty impressive. Where you look at where Dean Ambrose was at the end of his run with WWE, jobbing out to Drew McIntyre in every match possible that they could put them in, and then he comes back and makes such an impact. But yeah, I think Roman Reigns coming back in a lot sooner than a lot of people thought he would, and then making an impact at WrestleMania and what he's done since then. Which is just, you know, get involved with Shane McMahon and kind of stay out of Seth's way for now. So, yeah, I see where people
I've
got
invented
this one.
The phrase hashtag I'm a Dean Ambrose guy. I've seen switch it to hashtag I'm a John Moxley guy. However, I was not there. I had friends that was there, Dave. So I know what I heard from being there, and I know that I can't compare it to him coming out. I just... Wrestling fans, I just want you guys to stop fighting. It's like fighting over Marvel versus DC, Xbox versus PlayStation. Why do we fight over things that's supposed to be beneficial for all
East
of us
Coast,
involved?
West Coast.
It's just dumb.
Well,
but even back
was,
then,
that
and
one,
I,
Rick.
Well, that's your Dave being late, West Coast guy. West so, Coast. But like, that's just me. I'm that guy. Like, I want to be. I'm truly trying to be the voice of the voices for the voiceless, because I just want wrestling fans to be like, stop fighting. I don't give a damn about WWE or AEW. I care about wrestling. So, you know, it's beneficial for them all to be good. You know what I mean? So Moxley was Dean Ambrose to me. He came out to that. If he was not Dean Ambrose, he wouldn't get that pop, people.
But see, Mike, if you're trying to inject logic and reason into this whole conversation,
damn it, I keep
you
trying
can't
that. It doesn't
do
work.
That, you know?
Smoke weed every day, people. You'll
that's
understand.
That's You're trying to get these trying to get these marks to agree with everything that, hey, anything that's good for wrestling overall is good for the industry. So
the main event, the final category, pay-per-view of the year up to this point, and the four nominees are,
man, I mess this up, Pains.
AEW Double or Nothing.
Hell no.
WrestleMania 35.
Oh, hell yeah.
NXT TakeOver New York. WWE Royal Rumble. Dave, the winner is...
Well, we're going to have to, the main event, we're going to have to decide this amongst ourselves, guys, because there is a tie, but it's WrestleMania is not one of the ones that's tied. It's NXT TakeOver New York and Double or Nothing are the ones that are tied right now. So
I'll call it a mark if I picked NXT TakeOver over Double or Nothing. But guess what, guys? As I explained it around the blocks with Mike Knox, cheap pop, but it's not. Hey, chairshot.com, use your head. It has to be NXT TakeOver because people have to understand, no matter how dope the Double or Nothing was, you cannot, at least I can, let me speak for myself. I can't get into wrestling that I can't relate to, meaning I saw it. It was entertaining. I liked it, but I don't know the guys. I didn't know a lot of the guys that were on the roster. So no matter whether they gave me a great show or not, I can't give you my emotion because I don't know you well enough to give you my emotion. So it takes away from it being to be able to be a top show, in my opinion. So for me, I would go NXT. So,
Dave?
Rick? You go, Rick.
This is hard, man, because I watched AEW. I watched Double or Nothing live, and I was... it's hard to argue that was not a hell of an event. It really was. I didn't watch NXT TakeOver live. I watched it days after. And I don't think my vote here is really going to help anything. But I knew what happened. I knew the hype. So when I watched NXT, I knew what to expect. And just for that reasoning, I have to go AEW because I watched it live. And watching something live is totally different than watching something when you 3-4 days later. So for that reason, I went Double or Nothing.
Cool. So I get to break the tie.
Yes.
I know you guys, Mike, might be thinking I was at Double or Nothing. I'm going to go in that direction.
I was.
But
get
I'm
out
not.
My head. You
but
don't
I'm
know
not.
Me.
I'm not, because Rick knows the answer to this. What, Rick, what is the only pay-per-view in the history of this podcast, my podcast, it's over 4 years old, that's gotten a perfect mark?
TakeOver.
That's right. NXT TakeOver New York is the first show that we ever gave a perfect score to. And as great as Double or Nothing was, and I was there, it was not TakeOver New York. There was no match anywhere on that card. As great as Dustin and Cody were, and we talked about that earlier, it did not match up Gargano versus Adam Cole. Walter versus Pete Dunne was simply fantastic.
Amazing.
They beat the hell out of each other. I mean, people forget.
Yep.
There's only five matches on that card, but people forget War Raiders versus Rick. War Raider, I mean, one of the tag team matches of the year that we had that was a tie was on the NXT TakeOver New York card. You had Shayna Baszler, the women's match, which was very good. And you had Matt Riddle and Velveteen Dream, which was surprising, but excellent as well.
It was.
So, yeah, Double or Nothing was a lot of fun. It was a great pay-per-view, no doubt about that, but it was not NXT TakeOver New York.
And I don't even think NXT TakeOver New York was the best NXT TakeOver they've had. I thought Brooklyn won. Which one was the fight forever?
Was that Bayley and Sasha?
That's Bayley and Sasha 1, though, I think.
Yeah, right? that was the first Brooklyn.
Was that Sami Zayn versus Nakamura?
Oh, that was Dallas.
Yeah.
I was at that one, Mike.
I will not miss a TakeOver again. I went to New Orleans. We did all the events. We wanted to be different with the Elite showing up. So we did Ring of Honor. And, boy, I regretted it. That was one of the worst events I'd ever attended. Was that Ring of Honor, what they call the thing, did they have during WrestleMania season? It just wasn't, you know, besides the Elite themselves, the rest of the show was bland to me.
Garbage.
But if I can go back, you mentioned Shayna Baszler again. You talked about her earlier in the show. I wanted to go back, and I had to agree with you in that. I wanted to get that out there because I also think that Shayna Baszler is just that damn good. Like, what she's done, I think people need to take notice because I think the Four Horsewomen women that the WWE is trying to call with Ronda's clique shouldn't even be called that because only Ronda and Shayna, some other girls with me are trash.
Yeah.
Right. As for the four horsewomen that we know of, Sasha and all them girls, that's legitimate. But Shayna Baszler, She's on Ronda Rousey's level. Yeah. And I mean that in the sense of her realness in the ring and her, she's amazing.
Ed, there's the match that I think you want to have another women's mega match. Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey.
I'm paying for that.
It's money.
It's $9.99 a month.
There's a lot of realism that they can bring into that thing. I mean, they can really go at each other. But like you say, Mike, Shayna Baszler is great, and she's getting better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at her, you look at where she is on the mic now, where she
every time she does that move where she bends her hand back, God, it just looks so, like, how the hell you fake that? You know, who taught you how to slump somebody's elbow to don't slump their elbow? Oh, you're a professional. Don't try this at home. That's how.
Yeah, don't try this at home. She's unbelievably underrated.
So that was the chair shot, a mid-year awards at the end of the year. I'm assuming, Dave, you will have your swaggy, your annual swaggy awards.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. See, we'll see if these guys carry, exactly. How many of these still last.
You have the swaggies. I have the doozies.
The doozies?
I have the doozies for the overall, and I have the plexi awards, of course, with three X's.
I remember the plexi. So, guys, we're going to rapid fire these. No analysis. We're going to start with Dave. We're going to go Dave's pick, then Mike's pick, and I'm just going to write them down. So, here we go. Rapid fire. Dave, start with you. The Revival or the Usos tag match for the Raw Tag Team Championships?
I already told you earlier I'm going to Usos on this one.
Mike?
Ooh! Revival.
So,
it's too soon. It's too soon. They have to have a bigger payoff than Extreme Rules. Usos at SummerSlam.
Last man standing, Dave. Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Mike. Bobby Lashley needs it.
Singles match for the United States Championship, Ricochet, AJ Styles. Dave?
Man, this one's hard.
It is.
I know it seems too soon to pull it off of Ricochet, but I think they want to establish AJ and the Click, or the, not the Click, the Club. So I think AJ wins this thing clean methods. Let's put it that way.
Picking Ricochet because of all those things you said. Like, AJ doesn't need the title. You know what I mean?
Doesn't.
So, Ricochet needs to push. They want to keep pushing him. They love this kid. And how do you make him golden? By putting him in there with AJ Styles. So.
And I agree. I'm wondering if they don't stretch this out for a little while. Maybe have AJ take it here and Ricochet win it back at SummerSlam.
If the rumors are true about who's in charge, they're not rumors anymore, right? We know who runs, who's doing writing, whatever. If they're doing it the way I believe they would do it, then it has to be Ricochet.
Okay.
Going back to the front, I'm going the Usos. I'm going Braun Strowman. And I'm going Ricochet by disqualification on those.
Probably.
Singles match, Aleister Black or Cesaro? I chose Aleister Black. Dave?
Aleister Black.
Give me Cesaro, but he's not going to win. It's going to be Aleister Black. There's no way they did all this but him and he doesn't win.
Well, I'm giving you one more chance, Mike, because this is for points here. You're going against the first ever Hall of Famer for the chair shot. Do you want Cesaro or Aleister Black?
I just said I'm going to finish with Aleister Black. I said I have to go with Black, but I just want Cesaro to win.
Okay. Triple threat tag match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus The New Day versus Heavy Machinery. Dave, who you got?
Dude, I so much want to pick Heavy Machinery here. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I think Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are the best thing on this SmackDown Tag Team division going right now. I mean, The New Day are fantastic. Don't get me wrong. They're great. But I like what Daniel and Eric Rowan are doing right now. I think they retain.
I got to agree. It's Daniel Bryan. I'm a Daniel Bryan mark. It's Daniel Bryan. Wherever he touches, it's gold.
We're going to sweep
pick. Or hemp. Gold or hemp, one or the other.
Yeah, preferably hemp.
You sea got moss, some?
Sea moss. Anyway, ginger shots.
We're sweeping that pick. I also have Daniel Bryan and Rowan. Singles match for the Cruiserweight Championship. The champion, Drew Gulak, against Tony Nese. Dave?
Drew Gulak wins this thing. This is his chance to put a stamp on this Cruiserweight Championship reign. Nese is great. I like Tony Nese a lot, but he's not winning this match. Gulak
I love
retains.
Tony Nese, but I'm going to go with Tony Nese just because I don't give a shit. I don't even watch 205. I can admit it.
I'm going Drew Gulak. Singles match for the, my bad, handicap match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. I have Bayley winning here. Dave, what say you?
More than, or quite possibly the return of the boss. levels out the playing field, and Bayley wins this match somehow. Somebody, it's not going to stay 2-on-1. Whoever's going to end up as Bayley's buddy, I don't know who, but Mike, it's not going to stay 2-on-1.
Is Boston Hugs coming back?
Let me make sure my wife's not listening. Hey, we want some Bayley. Boy, that girl is beautiful from the neck down. Give me Bayley.
I can't get into her. Too much like Max's wife.
From the neck down.
Too much like Max's wife.
Down. From the neck down, boy, you were
oh, no,
a blessed
man. No. Oh, yeah, no. From the neck down, absolutely not.
From the neck down.
Okay. We're on the same page. Singles match for the championship, the WWE championship, that is. The champion, Kofi Kingston, versus Samoa Joe. I have Kofi retaining here. Dave, what say you?
I got Kofi retaining as well. There's part of me that wants to let Joe at least win this title once in his career, and I think maybe it happens someday, but not here.
I got to say Kofi. I want Kofi to hold the belt all the way to November. I doubt it. But these rumors of Kofi being hurt and I'm taking it off of him, I'm kind of fearful of that. So,
bonus points, gentlemen.
All right, points, Demi. Give me
five
Kofi.
Five bonus points. Do we see a cash in here?
No.
No. Dave?
No. At Extreme Rules? No.
Hold on. All right, cash in, meaning will we see him come out there?
No.
Or will it be an official cash in?
Will we see Paul Heyman not trip over the ropes this time?
An official cash in? No, okay. Absolutely not.
Let me ask you guys before we move on to the next thing. Just curious. When Brock cashes in, does he cash in on Seth or Kofi?
Kofi.
Yeah.
SmackDown.
I think Kofi.
It's the whole Fox thing.
Fox, UFC, Fox, WWE. You have Brock. We want Brock.
He will cash in on SmackDown. The debut. Exactly. Yep.
I wouldn't mind that.
But I'm fine with that. Just let Kofi go in as a champion. That's all. Let the world see Kofi. That's what I want. I want the world to see Kofi. And let me just say this also, people. And those who don't listen to my show, right? That's all right. I'm not the biggest Kofi fan just because I'm black. Also, you know, I'm like, you know, be like, I like Kofi, but I'm not a Kofi Kingston fan. Just to be honest with you people out here, I'm just saying, not a Kofi fan.
That was
I think he's great, but
if he loses on a cash in like that on the first episode of SmackDown on Fox, he's a made man.
Nothing's going to beat The Rock sliding into Versace's in the shoes.
I actually watched that the other day, man. I was laughing at that. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Wasn't it Rock versus Triple H and then Shawn Michaels kicked him? Wasn't it the first SmackDown?
It was.
Yeah. So, nothing's going to beat that moment.
What is the name they gave The Undertaker and Roman? The Graveyard Dogs? What was it?
So retarded.
Who cares? Anyway, we're going to go with the Graveyard Dogs. The Undertaker and Roman Reigns against Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. But it's a no-holds-barred match.
Oh.
I have the Graveyard
Dogs. In that case, I'm going to go.
Make sure you know the stipulation before you make your pick. I'm going Graveyard Dogs. Dave?
Well, now that you've made it a no-holds-barred match, I got to go with Roman and The Undertaker. Because, Drew McIntyre can't beat Roman Reigns. He is like Kevin Owens couldn't beat Dean Ambrose. Drew can't beat Roman. But
Shane can.
You know what? Well,
that's right.
For the point, I think we got a lot of picks in common. I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre needs a win. Maybe he pins Taker.
Ooh. I wouldn't hate it. And in the main event.
Awesome.
Guys, you got to listen to this, okay? This stipulation is extreme.
Extreme.
Last chance winners take all. Mixed tag. Team Extreme Rules match for both the Universal Championship and the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to say that again. Last chance, winners take all, mixed
you
tag.
You don't have to say it again, Rick. They know.
I'm out of breath, man. Seth Rollins and the man against Baron Corbin and the lady. Dave, who you got?
Oh. Is there any doubt in your mind that, well, there might be some doubt. No. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are winning this thing.
I mean, it's the
natural culmination. As much as I like Lacey, as much as I like Corbin, no.
The man and her bitch wins.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, that was it. That was the Extreme Rules Rapid Fire Picks Mid-Year Awards for thechairshot.com. Go to thechairshot.com/prowrestlingtees. Pick you up a t-shirt. Then go to paypal.com/Ricky4Saints. Hook your boy up. I'm building a house. I need some money. Then go to Twitter and find me on Twitter at TheBigRick62. Dave, where can they find you on the Twitter, sir?
At AttitudeAGG.
And when is your next episode coming out, Dave?
That is only for a select few to know.
Mike, plug your stuff, sir. Tell them they can find your show and they can find you on Twitter.
Well, Mike Knox, around the blocks of Mike Knox on thechairshot.com. BDSR Network stands for the Best Damn Show and Radio Networks, 10 years strong, over 2,000 episodes. You can find us on iTunes, Twitter, wherever social media and podcasts are sold, people, which is free. So just Google Mike Knox and you'll find me. Three X's. You know the rest.
That's
so, any social media platform, that's where I'm at.
Well, guys, thank you all for joining along tonight. I had fun. This is, I think, the first show I've done that
Thanks
was under an
me.
Hour and a half. So thank you, gentlemen. And you guys have a good night. Dave, have fun at Disney.
Oh, hold on.
It's going to be a lot of
fun. Hold on, Dave. I am going tomorrow. Are you going tomorrow?
To where are you?
Two different coasts, gentlemen. Two different
coasts. I'm in Orlando. Oh, okay.
Are you going to Disney World? I'm going to Disney World.
Well, I'm going to the real Disney. Well, I work with the real Disney.
Wait a second. The one in Disneyland was the original one.
It was, but it's not one that no one... Who wants to go to Disneyland when you can go to Disney World? That's like saying, I'm going to have Sierra, which I would love to have, or Beyonce. Like, hello? Beyonce.
Yeah, Dave, why have Sasha when you can have Lacey Evans?
Oh, no, I would take Sasha Banks
over Lacey Evans. Yeah,
that's a good comparison.
Y'all
you lost
crazy.
That one.
Y'all are crazy.
You like Lacey Evans?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.